The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Avatar, The Last Airbender, the extended edition. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And for some of you, this will be welcome back.
But if you're new here, we are husband and wife that run two fandom podcasts together. Shell Cottage Radio, a Cozy Potter podcast, which is a Harry Potter podcast only.
And the extended edition, where we bounce from fandom to fandom, but often linger in a galaxy far, far away.
And our current obsession is the Avatar, The Last Airbender show on Netflix.
And today we are here to break down episode 2, Warrior, and episode 3, Amashu. For each episode, we'll give you a quick summary of the events and then share our raw first impressions and thoughts. Lottie will start us off with a summary for episode 2, Warrior.
Here we go. In episode 2, the story intensifies as Prince Zuko, in a fit of rage over losing vital information on the Avatar, seeks guidance from Iroh. Their quest leads them to a Fire Nation port to discreetly gather intelligence. However, this tips off Commander Zhao about the Avatar's potential whereabouts. Meanwhile, Aang's motivation to master his powers leads the group to Kyoshi Island. There he hopes to connect with Avatar Kyoshi's spirit for guidance. Despite initial resistance from the Kyoshi warriors and the island's mayor, the group is allowed a brief stay, during which Sokka begins training and forming a bond with Suki, the mayor's daughter. The narrative deepens as Aang seeks wisdom from Kyoshi, entering a spiritual state while Zuko and Zhao race to capture him. The episode reaches a climax with Zhao's forces attacking Kyoshi Island, leading to a fierce battle between the Fire Nation soldiers and the Kyoshi warriors. Suki and her people fight bravely, but they seem outnumbered. Then Aang channels Kyoshi's power and turns the tide, showcasing the profound legacy and strength of the Avatar. The episode concludes with Team Avatar departing for the Northern Water Tribe, hinting at future challenges and the continuous threat from not just Zuko, but also Commander Zhao, who now secretly reports the Avatar's return to Fire Lord Ozai. This episode beautifully blends action, character development, and the thematic essence of legacy and responsibility.
Kyoshi! 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 I mean, wow!
That's a way to describe it.
Let me tell you something right now. If you watched episode 1 and didn't go to episode 2, you have a problem. So people who like clicked off the show, like, all right, yeah. Episode 2 brings it all. I was like, I had chills the whole time.
Yes.
I had chills the whole time.
Me too.
Right? I literally could not, just as my, I'm going to give you my raw reaction.
Yes,
on
please.
This, was I love Sokka. I'm in love with Suki.
Yes.
As everyone is.
Yes.
And I was like, you guys, I'm the whole time rooted like, let's go. And I'm just his goofiness. And then she's so sweet and also, you know, epic at the same time.
Yeah.
This whole village is really cool. And then you get the idea of the Avatar meets the Avatar.
Right.
And Avatar State is just like the takeover happens. It's just a mind-blowing, jam-packed episode.
Yeah.
And that's, you would think... My main points are none of the things I just mentioned, actually. I have something else that I want to talk about later
yes.
on when we get into that. But I mean, so that shows you how much is in this, right? We can hit all the big major things, and there's tons of subtle stuff underneath
yes.
that was like, what? It's the small details that are adding so much value to the show that the attention to detail is just taking it to another level.
Yeah, to me it's mind-blowing how they... pace the episodes really well. I know they have to cram in a lot of stuff into only 8 episodes. We all know that. And that's what I appreciate so much, that they do take their time for little things that they can get in, and little wisdoms, a lot of emotions. And yes, Suki and Sokka are cute to me, but what for me makes this episode just epic is that they brought Kyoshi to fight for her village and show Aang the raw power of the Avatar. That was so, I mean, a goosebump moment for me. The music hits and it's just this raw, fierce warrior who, she's not right about everything. She tries to give Aang her best advice, would probably led her through her time of being the Avatar. And she said, I think what's so great is she goes down, first she speaks to Aang from up here, right? She's way taller than him. He's just this little kid.
Yeah.
And she kind of reprimands him a little bit. Well, it's about time.
Yeah.
Aang.
Yeah.
You know.
Where you been, buddy? Yeah.
Right. But then later she goes down on her knees to meet him eye to eye, and like to go down on his level. And tell him, I have once been like you. And that tells you, I mean, that made me go like, I want to read her book so bad now. Because for some reason, even though they portray her as this stiff and a little bit, not angry, but like, oh, you just got to
slay, intense and, you know, and aggressive.
Aggressive warrior. Something about her character now is so intriguing to me. And I just love Kyoshi. And the epicness of her just showing up and showing off her raw power was paired with the music.
Oh, the music was so good. Oh my gosh.
So awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time it hit, it was just sort of like a goosebumps moment. And I think like you really had to, in episode two, bring that type of action and energy, right? I think you really needed to do that. And they definitely did it. It's sort of like, it's the sequel to episode one and it has to be that good. So Oh yeah. Perfect. You got the background all squared away there. So I mean, just our initial reactions are it was awesome. And I think now we're going to get to things I think you have on your outline, things we like, things we don't like, right? We're going to be talking about those, things here. And so I just want to go ahead and say out front that things I don't like, there was nothing.
Wow.
There was nothing. Yeah. And people would say like, oh, you're going to be able to find something. You're going to be a critic. Sorry, I'm not. I just love it. And I was easily entertained. But at the same time, I started digging for and looking for the good in these little attention to detail moments, and there's a ton of them.
Yes.
There are a ton of them. And I this is only, again, we watched it last night, and so haven't even had a ton of time to really process it, but I found a few things that I kind of want to bring to your attention at some point and let you guys go back and I guess look for some more of these smaller things that magnify and take this to just a whole new level.
Yes. So. Yeah, it's hard to find. Honestly, yesterday I had to refrain from reading too many comments on Instagram, and because I saw some people posting about it and they're like, oh, I'm not sure if I should watch the show because I think the fandom is scarred by the movie. And again, they, you know, back in the day when they produced a movie, they probably tried to do the best they could with back in the day, whatever they had. The technology wasn't as advanced as ours now, but it didn't end up being a great product for the fandom, and that's why everyone's like, oh, I'm not sure if I should watch it. And then I made the mistake to read some comments underneath that post, and I was just of the impression this show is so freaking good. How can, I mean, everyone's gonna love it, right? And then I see some comments like, oh, it's all right, the writing is a little meh. And then I felt like, is it just me who's just so, like you said, easily entertained and just a fangirl? And should I find something to criticize? But it's not, that would be less authentic to me because I am just so happy with the show.
And I
just want to talk about what's great about it. Sorry.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I often think people who are critical, they want to put out like a really loud voice against certain things that they don't like. And I always want to encourage folks that if you like something, feel free to speak just as loudly as those people.
Yeah, and you're allowed to not like it. Absolutely. For sure. It's just
For
how
sure.
You
it's just that
perceive
the,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that the positive comments sometimes get drowned out by a lot of the criticism. Mm-hmm. And it seems to really trump some of those positive things. And so I just say, speak loudly. Both sides, it's fine. Just make sure both are loud, right?
Yeah.
Turn them both up and all will be fair.
Yes.
Because I think there's a lot more people who are going to be saying good things about this than they are going to be saying, you know, critical bad things about it. I have literally nothing to criticize in the first two episodes.
Yes.
Like, not a daggone
thing. Same, actually. The first two were fantastic.
I have one thing. I have one thing in episode three, which I will bring up, you know, so like, okay, you can say as broad as one critical moment, but I really had nothing that I didn't. I was just actually floored and blown away by this episode. So that's the bad for me. And then I'm ready to get into a plethora of good if you want to.
Do you want to start us off with your good moments?
I do, because it'll take us back to the beginning of the episode, which is Katara is talking about they've just processed Aang in the Avatar state. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're back at his temple. Do you remember that? That's like the very, because we get caught up in all of the Kyoshi Island stuff. And it's like that.
No, they are still at the air temple.
Right.
At the beginning of the episode. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was for me, a small moment. But the way that they did Gran and the scroll.
Yes.
And the passing things on, protecting family.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah.
Subtle. And Gran has the wisdom to not draw any attention to it, but just to pass it on. She will find it, and she has faith.
Yeah.
And she knows that she is going on this quest and this journey. It was just an extra little nod to her wisdom. And, you know, I thought that was really...
Yeah. I like this change a lot, because originally she got the scroll from a market, from pirates, in the animated show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I like this change that it was Gran who kept this knowledge this whole time for her granddaughter.
Protecting her by keeping it, right? And then,
But now she knows she can't really protect her anymore. She has to let her go out in the world. Yeah.
She knows it is time.
It is time, yeah.
It is time. I love when there's those moments, right? In shows or in great fantasy stories and arcs where it is time. It is time for the hero to rise and to answer the call. So, and she actually says, so what good is saving Wolf Cove if we don't save the world? And I was like, let's go. She's locked in. And that's where Sokka is sort of bound to his role as a protector of his village. So she starts off by saying, what good is saving Wolf Cove if we don't save the world?
Yep.
Later on, Sokka will stumble through his words with Suki when she's like, well, aren't you? You said you're guarding your village. How are you guarding your village if you're not there?
Right.
So these are the little tiny good writing details where at the beginning of the episode, Katara talks about that.
Yep.
And then he starts to kind of stumble through his response. Well, I'm actually, you know, kind of I'm saving the world. How does it go, Katara? We're saving the world.
That's great. Yeah.
But by saving the world, I'm protecting the village. He's like stumbling through that thought. So, yeah.
And that theme continues through Suki's mother, who's overprotective over her village, which is just a little village.
Yes.
And it opens the eyes to Suki, who's believed what her mother says. We have to protect ourselves, right? We have to survive. But then here's Sokka and Katara, who left their village.
Uh-huh.
But they say there's something greater out there. We have to go into the world to protect the world and therefore protect our village.
And sometimes it's not always just protecting your local community, right?
Yeah.
It's understanding how your your local community reacts and interacts with all the other communities.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about these stories, is it gets you out your door, out on the road, and on this great quest where you meet other people and you learn those things.
You gotta get out of your comfort zone, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So now another little small thing. I'm just gonna go through my full list and then you can kinda go through. Okay. So another full I just thought this was cool. So Momo looks like Momo.
Sokka I have him
looks like a Sokka.
You mean that moment? I was just gonna chime in and say, yes, Momo is so cute.
Yeah,
they made him so cute. I think Momo is a little annoying in the animated show,
right?
But this Momo is just an adorable monkey cat flying
thing,
ball of fur,
lemur, whatever it was.
So
cute.
Thanks for making Momo so adorable.
And I just love that he looks like a Momo and Sokka looks like a
Sokka.
And I'm like, okay, yeah. And this is a callback
to the
true. Animated. Yeah.
You know, if you
and they're laughing about it. Yeah. It's that playful kind of, you know, just childlike moment that they have on Appa. It's great. So now, okay, let's get into it here. Mm-hmm. You ready? You ready to get into this? So Uncle Iroh, my favorite character. I'll say it. It is hard to say. It is hard to have a favorite character in this, but I definitely have one. And so he wants, at the beginning of this, when they go to Commander Zhao's outpost, when they first show up, he wants Zuko to kind of learn how to get what you want without divulging your true intention.
Mm-hmm.
He says that, mm-hmm. right? Learn how to get what you want and don't divulge your true intention. So he does that so well. He doesn't just say that to Zuko. He then, if you watch him, mm-hmm. once they get to the outpost, he does this perfectly.
He demonstrates it to Zuko.
Straight up. So who does Uncle Iroh seek out first? And I think we talked about this, and I'm gonna go ahead and just tell everybody. The first person that he seeks out when he gets to the outpost is a food vendor.
Yeah.
Now, that might not seem significant at first, but ultimately this food vendor becomes the eyes and ears for them in this city. So Iroh is having a master moment.
Yeah.
In such a subtle way, he doesn't overlook the importance of making a connection with the local food vendor. And I just was like, did anybody else notice that? Because it happens here. Mm-hmm. You move away from this connection over food, and he's talking to him, and he's interested in that, and
right.
and he just makes a local connection.
Yeah.
Then they move on, and then they need intel later on
right.
when Zhao's ship is gone, and who pops up and bumps into them and just like, well, here's what's up. Here's what happened. I heard this. And he just laid the groundwork to kind of, you know, he didn't want to say, hey, I need you to go out and be a spy and be my ears
exactly.
and eyes.
No, yeah.
And it might be more coincidence that he bumps into him. But I just was sort of like,
yeah,
okay, you see the value in right. sort of you cast a net. Iroh cast a net of mm-hmm. kindness and empathy and connection and relationships and local food vendors.
Yeah.
And then those people, that relationship that you build there comes back later on to help you right. out. Right?
That's pretty cool.
So I just thought it was
very
cool.
Very subtle, but really cool.
It's like, so it happens fast. It's his mm-hmm. nod to his wisdom, and his wisdom is follow your gut. Sticky rice.
Sticky rice.
Sticky
right?
rice.
We need sticky rice.
Yeah. So thought that was cool. Okay. Another thing that I really liked. We're going towards the island, and Sokka for me is funny. There's just one or two lines. It's nothing over the top. His humor is not over the top. But mm-hmm. what does he call Avatar Kyoshi? He calls her giant scary lady.
Oh yeah, that's so, such a Sokka line.
She is. She's a giant. Yeah. She is super scary.
Yeah.
And her intensity is just nuts. And then all of her warriors, the Kyoshi warriors, they're not just warriors. They're Kyoshi warriors.
Yep.
It's a different level.
Yeah.
So I love it. To go on a couple more quotes, I just kind of want to pull up that I thought were interesting. Aang says when he's talking to them, he says that where I am from, people help each other.
Yeah.
And you're going to see throughout all this thing, this theme of helping one another. And Iroh is a part of that in a mystical way we're not going to talk about yet. But he is also has been and is going to continue to be doing that. And just to see Aang wanting to help these people,
mm-hmm.
you know, like help me, I will help you. And it's just bringing back this world where we were kinder and
right.
where we were happier and we helped one another. And it's something that he misses. So
yes.
Yeah. But
yeah, we heard... Who said it? I don't remember. We don't really see other people anymore. Oh, that's, I think, when Aang pops into Wolf Cove and
yeah.
they are all like, we have never seen a, you know, bender,
right.
another bender from another niche or another
mm-hmm.
other people before.
Right, right.
We just normally nowadays, we all stay with our own kind.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it just the importance of getting out there and seeing other people.
Yeah.
Something, and I know you probably have this in your notes too, but Suki is, you know, she talks about multiple times throughout the episode, she talks about the world coming to her now.
Yeah.
She was afraid to go out and didn't have the courage maybe to go out into the world. And she wanted to stay here and protect her family, her village. But now the world has come to her. And so that was mm-hmm. a gift. She saw that and she was, she had gratitude because this gift
yeah.
came to her.
Right.
And even though she didn't go to it, and it will encourage her to kind of, you know, just, I don't know, go out later into the world. So,
yeah.
Another thing. So before I turn this back over, mm-hmm. Two more points that I kind of want to make.
Yeah.
So Aang is meditating. Hear me out on this. He's meditating in front of the Kyoshi shrine, right? Remember this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Right as he's going in.
Yep.
So he's doing the power up. He's meditating. He's struggling.
Yep.
He's actually struggling to do it. He is hearing all sorts of different things. He hears many things. His own doubts, his own
mm-hmm.
fears,
mm-hmm.
the fears of others, and more. But the memory or the thought that literally helps him connect to Avatar Kyoshi is his old master Gyatso.
Yeah.
And this is a small detail. This is what I'm kind of talking about here. The small details that make this show so good. So the memory of Gyatso's words and his teachings, give Aang the peace that he needs to connect to Kiyoshi.
Yeah.
It's a very small thing, but if you listen to him as he's meditating, you see the anguish on his face, and then all of a sudden that anguish starts to melt away. He goes into calm. Why? Because his master is still influencing him. He is still passing on, like he still has an impact. 100 years later, Gyatso's impact is still there. He is still helping and saving the world because his teachings have echoed through time.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
It is.
And it's a small, small detail, but it matters. And that's good writing when you pay attention to those sort of things of what takes him into that meditative state and gets him prepared to meet Kiyoshi.
Right.
So, and it's that master also is the one who's constantly reminding him to be him.
Right.
Yes, you have
to know who you are.
Know who you are. You are the avatar for sure, but you are individual and separate from the other avatars. So I just thought it was like so freaking good. So good.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. Now, next point, final point, and I'll turn it back over to you. Uncle Iroh, something that he says I think is interesting when I think it's, Zuko is saying, he says he's so close. He is, he's upset because he's been gone for 3 years. He's so close. It's this line where Uncle Iroh says, sometimes hope can be a cruel thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes hope can be a cruel thing.
Yeah.
The Avatar is here and Zuko has a chance to go home. So why does Uncle Iroh say this, or why does he bring this up? Essentially, what he is saying is that hope can be a paradox. Yes, it is an essential and powerful aspect of the human spirit. Hope can provide an immense strength and resilience to us, right? But it can also lead to deep emotional pain and suffering when it is misplaced, when it's unrealistic, or when it's unfulfilled. So Uncle Iroh is trying to help Zuko recognize and understand that there's a dual nature to hope.
It is, yeah.
Right. And so you got to find the balance between optimism and realism.
Right.
And that's what he's trying to do, because it's such it took me a second to think, how is hope? How can it be a cruel thing? I mean, you kind of get it.
Yeah.
But then I needed to process it more to see, this is something that, and we're not even so sure this is a good thing to hope for.
Right. Yeah. You have a father who promises you everything will be okay once you have the Avatar. Right. And this is what we call false hope. It's he's fueling false hope in his son because he's using him for his own gains.
I mean, really, this whole quest is just a sharpening of a tool, right? He wants to send him. He wasn't he felt like that compassion and kindness that he showed during their duel needed to sort of be worked out, and he needed to be worked out of him. And he almost, if it weren't for Uncle Iroh, I think the Fire Lord would have been successful, maybe.
Yeah.
That'll say something about your mentors and the people that you have around you, your circle, even if it's small. Mm-hmm. It's Uncle Iroh who saw the need to go with him, right, to make sure that he still saw his true value and his worth, and that he didn't become this tool for his father.
Oh, this whole story, Uncle Iroh, how he joins his crew and his crew. Oh, the story about his crew, too, that is going to be revealed in, I think, the next episode.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it. Yeah. And it's a great, like you said, the mentioning of hope of Uncle Iroh is a great contrast to earlier Katara mentioning hope as something we all need.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes,
when they leave the Water Tribe, when they leave their home, because now the Avatar is back and he represents hope to her.
Right,
and
right.
And they need that.
And there's this, that's why, you know, again, the wisdom is that there's this dual, there's this other side of hope that it can be, we think it of something that's always good, but it can have this cruel side to it. So you're right. Good to bring up, Katara there and her hopeful moments. Okay, so I'll turn it back over to you. Your thoughts just in things that you liked. I know you have a whole list of things.
Oh, no, I am going to keep short because you mentioned so many good things about this episode. I kind of chimed in while we were going. So I just want to go back to the beginning also and take a moment. You mentioned Gyatso in your thoughts, and I just wanted to, quote you real quick. You said something of the sort, you said, how does this freaking show hit every freaking emotion? It's, I think we haven't had an episode where we weren't at least a little bit teary-eyed. Right at the beginning of this episode is Aang, who right before they start their journey to Kiyoshi Island, he's like, there's one more thing I need to do. And he lays down his, I don't exactly know, is it a necklace?
Yeah, like a medallion?
Yes. Yeah. It's his... I was going to say Water Tribe. His air nomad
Symbol. Yeah.
He lays down before the remains of his master, Kyatso.
Yeah.
And he's so, I mean, his big eyes are so teary-eyed, and he gets so serious and trembling. He says, "My whole life, you were there for me, and I wasn't there for you."
Yeah. Dang.
Goodbye, Kyatso. And that's, I mean, again, and he says, "I'm sorry." And again, here, props to the actor.
Yeah.
He did that. I mean, he made me cry right
away. I know. You're tearing up right now. It's this thing. It's, there's so many emotions in this show, and they just happen. Every episode starts off with some sort of like either action-packed moment, some intensity, but then bring in the emotion. And it almost has like a three, you know, like you get emotional in the beginning, there's an emotional moment in the middle, and then at the end. Yeah. And I'm just like, wow, you guys have...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Us on every episode is like a roller coaster ride, and so that was a good moment to start us off.
Yeah,
I think is to reflect on his master. And his master said, "What is in the first episode? There will come a time where you wish that you had more time. With your masters and with your friends." So, oh gosh,
it's so good. Yeah,
but and spoiler for later episodes. We told you guys it'd be a full spoiler thing. So don't worry. There's more to come with Gyatso.
Yes.
So.
And they do, we get some flashbacks. They do play up that theme of Aang being so powerful that he has to learn how to control his powers, right? I mean, he has other benders in his group, but he is the one who definitely stands out. Mm-hmm. He is extremely powerful, and we see him as a kid. He's just kind of playing and training, and he almost blows these, I think they're adults, right? Masters away, and they tell him, "You need to be careful," right? And it's him that really starts in him this, oh my gosh, I don't want to hurt anyone.
I know.
And it's part of his upbringing as a monk, and then also his own experience that if he just lets his powers loose, that he can hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that inner conflict will unfold throughout the entire show. That's his whole this whole struggle that he has as with the responsibility of the Avatar bringing peace to the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, that involves hurting someone.
Yeah.
And I think this is a great contrast between Aang and Zuko, is that Aang knows who he is. I think Gyatso has taught him well, and he needs to, his whole quest is to stay true to himself despite his responsibility. Mm-hmm. Zuko thinks he knows who he is, but he has to unlearn false beliefs that were ingrained in him as a child.
Wow.
And he's still searching for this true identity, his true selves, his true beliefs and values. And in Aang, they're already there, mm-hmm. and he has to protect them. He has to find a way, how do I protect my own values in this whole task of being the Avatar? And and Zuko has to find that still.
That is very well said. And let me just chime in. That's sort of when you grow up in that environment, that nurturing environment where you're learned and those values are sort of like ingrained in you, you can sometimes take them for granted.
Yes. Right?
You kind of forget about those things. Whereas someone like Zuko,
search
who has to
yourself too. Mm-hmm.
search it out once he has to figure those things out on his own, or he has to undo some of the bad, right? And he has to overcome that. Then he is, he's almost grateful for that obstacle and that the ability to overcome those things, because it's a skill he'll have now for the rest of his life. And he also really then, I think, doubles down on the value that he gains through that experience. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't take it for granted like somebody else who would. So there's both. There's yin and yang in this whole thing. So both sides. And it is really cool how they mirror one another, and they're very different in their upbringings.
Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah.
One thing I noticed in this episode as we start, I mean, this all just happened. The Avatar has just returned, and the Fire Nation, they don't really know yet, but the ones that do know, how do they react to it? How do they make sure that the Avatar doesn't gather allies, right? And they do that, especially Zhao, like wherever they go, the Fire Nation, they want to frame the Avatar as an outsider. They know that people are angry that he wasn't there when they most needed him. So now they try to blame him, put all that blame on him, and again frame him as this outcast, as if he has no place and no allies. And we see that very well when he goes to the, you know, Kyoshi village. Their first reaction is, you know, you're not from here. We don't know you. And also you didn't protect us when we needed you. What are you doing here now?
Whereas Avatar Kyoshi did.
Yes.
They have a history of knowing that she did. Aang's story has not yet unfolded.
Yeah.
And so, but to compare him to her is sort of like on their island, well, who are you? You've been gone. Or, you know. Yeah.
And they know that he needs allies. He needs someone to teach him the elements. Or I don't know if Zhao knows, but So that I thought that their tactics, you know, of isolating the target was pretty smart on Zhao's.
Oh, yeah.
Because he tries to convince the mayor that he's just an outsider. We can remain our peaceful relationship. We're not going to cause trouble if you hand over the Avatar. Why do you want to risk your life for this outsider?
And to which her reply, the mayor's reply, was very clear, right? The only outsider here is you.
Yeah.
And so that means, like, again, she is now, they've grown beyond. Even before the Avatar state, even before Aang does anything, already they have seen the value of his presence before Kyoshi is activated and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Which was cool, because it's cool that she said that and had evolved in her thinking of Aang and his friends already to sort of say they are welcome. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All in all, a freaking fantastic episode. The last thing I just want to say to this episode is, and it's not only for this episode, but it just stuck out to me as something I want to mention, is just props to the set, the costumes, and the props.
props to the props
they used. I mean, the Kyoshi warriors and Kyoshi's statue and Kyoshi herself,
they
look so awesome,
so good.
And I mentioned, I think I mentioned it also about the Water Tribe, how they made it look, but man, it just, again, costume designers, makeup artists, set designers, all of those guys.
So good.
They did a magical job. So there we go.
yep. Okay, cool beans. So that was episode 2. And friends, we're going to dive right into episode 3.
Yeah, without further ado, let us hear the summary.
In episode 3, tensions escalate with an attempted coup against Fire Lord Ozai, stopped by his daughter Azula, highlighting internal Fire Nation conflicts and pro-Avatar sentiments. Then the narrative shifts to Aang's journey to Amashu, misled by a supposed airbender Teo, a disabled boy with a winged chair. Amashu, a city under siege, introduces characters like Jet, a charming freedom fighter who briefly becomes a love interest for Katara, and Teo's father, Sai, an engineer involved in a bombing plot against the city. The episode weaves themes of betrayal, loyalty, and the complexities of war. Katara and Jet's budding relationship is tested when Jet is revealed to be the true mastermind behind planning the assassination of Sai and Amashu's king with a bomb. His rebellion against the war is flamed by hatred and extremist tendencies. When Katara finds out about Jet's ruthless plan, she turns her back against him. Team Avatar comes together to prevent Jet's plan. This leads to a confrontation with Iroh and Zuko in the middle of Amashu's street market. This episode highlights an intense fight between Aang and Zuko, revealing Zuko's unresolved motivation and hinting at Azula's manipulation from afar. The climax sees Zuko inadvertently exposing his presence to the Earth Kingdom military, resulting in Aang and Iroh's capture while Zuko escapes, setting the stage for further conflict and deepening the narrative's exploration of loyalty, identity, and the cost of war.
This episode is where they go nuts on combining different episodes and stories into one big showdown in Amashu. Or the showdown continues over to the next episode too, but I think it's amazing how many characters are introduced in this episode.
Yeah.
And how well, though, I want to say this, I love how they carefully weave characters and places we encounter in the first season in the animated show into an Amashu-only storyline that actually makes sense.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It works. Because I didn't quite remember how it was all, you know, broken. It's been a while since I've seen the animated series, but to me, I'm kind of glad that I don't have that fresh in my mind like you do. You definitely have a more vivid memory of the animated series. Mm-hmm. You've seen it more times than I have. And so for you, you can really distinguish between like this is the animated versus the live action and how they're doing it differently. And for me, I think it's been great because I don't remember that as much.
Yeah.
And so it works. I can sit here and tell you as somebody who is not really diluted with that animated version in my mind that I'm like watching this and it all makes sense.
Yes.
It flows very well.
It does.
Yeah.
I think that's why we need to get away from too much comparing the two and just seeing this show for what it is. It's such a good new interpretation of the events and how I imagine it, how the team of writers came together and, you know, developers of the show. I think they really sat down and tried to pencil down the most important character developments of each character, who they have to meet, how that leads to, in the end, how they support each other and their relationships, how they turn out, and the learnings along the way.
Yeah.
And you can change places. You can change the setting of, okay, they don't really meet, what's his name, Sai and his son, Teo, in Amashu, but they put him there, and it is okay. It's okay that it's not at the other air temple.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in the show. It feels really good because Aang, he is the one who's angry with them at first because they're not real airbenders and they're kind of they're intruders to the air temple. But it's okay that theme is not completely the same here. Mm-hmm, it's more important that Sai has a problem. His family is being almost blackmailed. If he doesn't hand over plans and his inventions, then his family will suffer.
Yeah, I think so. Every animated series, when there's like 20 plus episodes or whatever, they have filler episodes. They have episodes where you're going to go on a side quest.
Right.
You see something and you're distracted by it and you're like, okay, I'm going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's further character development. They're still important. I am also a big believer of there are no real filler episodes.
Yeah.
They all have a function.
Exactly.
But I think when you're going to adapt something like this, you sort of take, okay, what was important from that filler episode?
Yeah.
And how can we weave that into a larger story?
Right.
And I feel like it was still worked really well. It was really good.
And they made Amashu look amazing.
Yeah.
Like with the what are they called?
It's stunning. Yeah.
These little what are they called?
The ramps or something?
Yeah. Do you call them ramps?
Slides. I don't know what they are.
And then Jet's in there. He helps them actually get in, which is pretty cool. And you can remember we were like, who's this guy? And immediately, because there was some flirting going on between Katara and this guy, you knew it was Jet. It has to be Jet because we knew there has to be something more between them.
Yeah. Yeah, they were definitely, you know, you could see the looks, right? And I remember when Jet does a really funny thing where when they're going in and he calls her his wife, right?
Yeah, right away. That's the story he makes up. And then he just says, Sokka, he's no, my brother-in-law, unfortunately, he can't speak.
Right, yeah, yeah. So, and it's funny because he likes to talk a lot. Sokka likes to talk a lot, so it's cool.
It's fantastic.
But yeah, they get in there, and there's definitely some trouble in Amashu. And there's definitely a history of they've resisted the Fire Nation for sure for many years. But you can tell there's some problems on the inside, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty cool. One thing, I guess, before we get too far into Amashu, I'm going to share something real quick, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning of this, when they're trying to figure out where they might go, something that will happen later, and I want to point it out now. So when Iroh, they're meeting with Commander Zhao.
Yeah.
Commander Zhao was talking about where the Avatar might go. And I think it's Lieutenant G.
Yes.
Is there?
Yeah. And he's one of Zuko's guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he sort of is like, after Zhao leaves, he talks disrespectfully about a superior officer, and Zuko snaps, mm-hmm. right? Later on, we'll learn all sort of about, like, that crew will start to understand who Zuko is and what he's gone through.
And what he did for them.
And I was rewatching it, it's sort of connecting now even more that when he looks at those guys, he is reminded of that event.
Yeah.
He, every time he sees them, he's angry and reminded that, like, by sticking up for them, by saving them, he's here.
Yeah.
And this is what it cost him. And so they're a constant reminder to mm-hmm. him as well. And it makes him angry and
flare
up,
yeah.
right? So, you know, again, he is also talking because Iroh's trying to help him see, like, that wasn't nice. And he's trying to, you know, connect with you or whatever. But there hasn't been, they don't know the sacrifice that Zuko is making for them, so there's just this lack of communication, and they don't mm-hmm. understand one another, and that will be healed later on. We'll talk about that when it shows up, because it's emotional.
It is.
But I thought it was really neat that they set that up here in this episode, where he snaps, and they're kind of, you can see, if from the commander's perspective, you're like, what the heck, man?
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, dude, you're really too angry, and I could see, I don't want to be loyal to you. You're a jerk. Why are you being a jerk? But again, they're this reminder, and he knows something that he's not sharing with them, and it just comes out. And so you often do this a lot of times in real life, which is thinking about, wonder why people did that. I wonder why Zuko did that. I wonder why he's acting that way, or why he's so fiery with these guys. You know?
And he does say to his uncle in the end, after this guy leaves, he says, we are still Fire Nation, and we need to be.
Right.
And especially here, out here, we need to be. We need to stick to our values, right? Which is, we don't. Gossip. We don't gossip about.
Yes, he's holding a high bar, a high standard.
Right.
And that's actually in the military council, like later on, just to kind of jump ahead a little bit, when he's there and his father reprimands him, he was holding a high bar.
Mm-hmm.
Zuko holds a high bar and is honorable, right?
Yeah.
And so he always wants to kind of see that in his underlings, right? And in those, like, his officers.
Yeah.
And when he doesn't see that, there's, again, he hasn't figured out the tack and the way to kind of communicate with them, right?
Yeah.
So that's something, it's just a part of his growing. But you're right. Yes, he always holds that high bar. And it's ironic because his father is not willing to do that. He'll cut any corner that he can. He'll take advantage of any weakness that he sees.
Yeah.
And he'll strike without honor and in a dishonorable way if it brings victory. And that's not what Zuko's willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Another thing that I really liked, that we get to see Ty Lee and May, Azula's friends, in this episode. And they're just always hanging around watching her. And we get a glimpse of their characters. Ty Lee is always like, Azula, we all know you're the best. And she's just like a little naive, but trying to make Azula feel better. Because Azula is also on a quest or on a journey where she's trying to prove herself to her father. And her father motivates her by always saying it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to fuel that fire in her by saying, nope, try again.
Yeah.
She's like, I beat those guys, because it's like a training match, and she full on, you know,
she realizes
takes their butts.
Yeah, and she realizes she's being played.
Yeah.
She realizes that she's just being toyed with, and that she's being, I think this is exactly, like, we'll get to a point where she reacts in such a way that her father now finally has respect for her. Okay, fine. Now you're not willing to play my game anymore, and you figured out that I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. He is ruthless. He's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I think seeing her friends was really cool. We get to see more of them. So,
We see her train like crazy here and there.
Yeah.
So She is absolutely ambitious. And Zuko, I think in the animated show, he says something like everything always came to her, and he always had to work for his his victories or his recognition.
Yeah, she came to her naturally.
She is more. She's the prodigy, right? The firebending prodigy, mm-hmm. but she works hard. So don't underestimate that effort that she puts in.
Don't sleep on her.
Right? Yeah.
So she's great. I'm glad she, like we said when we introduced her character, Lizzie Yu. I mean, like we're the cast member. Mm-hmm. She's intense. Now, as we get deeper into this, I love when they go undercover.
Yeah.
So when Zuko and Iroh go undercover and they go into the city, and first thing that Iroh does is he goes and he checks out some of the vendors.
Yeah.
He goes to the vendors. It just, I love it, and there's a purpose in it, and then he grabs a token, and that token will be important later on.
Yeah.
Little tiny things that really show up and are small that matter. And we have to mention it, otherwise I think we're going to be booed off the internet, which is, you know, whatever. The Cabbage Guy.
What's his name?
Cabbage Dude? What's his, talk about?
I don't think he has a real name. He's just the Cabbage Vendor. Cabbage Guy.
Cabbage Man,
Cabbage Man.
He is
They made him part of the show.
Poor guy, but... His cabbages are always getting messed up. I'm not a big cabbage fan.
Cabbage is good for you.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah. So anyways, it was cool to see him in this episode. And really, it's just this back and forth. This episode to me was Team Avatar getting out some of these underlying anxieties or problems that they might have with each other. And working through that because they are on two different sides here. You know, they both have to admit that they're wrong to some degree, right?
Yeah.
So Sokka and Katara have to admit that they messed up and they were blind to someone close to them, even though we just met in this episode, who is actually...
Well, they learned something from, both of them.
They learned something. They're given a gift. They're enlightened a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're helped along the way by these individuals, but those individuals are also misguided themselves.
Yeah.
And they need some refinement, right?
Yeah.
So
this is a great representation of it's not just black and white in war. There's not just the good guys and the bad guys, right?
Right.
Jet, who kind of leads this rebellion from outside the city, they have this camp outside the city from where they do very extreme things,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really care about, they talk about the greater good, right? We need to sacrifice. And you right away, you said dark side.
He went dark side. He was an absolute dark side user.
Yeah.
Hatred. He'd given in to hate and it had sort of soiled his soul a little bit. Right. So he is out fighting the cause. He reminds me of Saw Gerrera in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right. So he is one of the rebels and he is fighting,
mm-hmm.
but the way that he's grown so bitter and so hateful that he's off the
right
path.
It's too extreme. Yeah. He's willing to sacrifice innocent lives.
Right.
And then here's this father who has lost his wife and his son is disabled because of the Fire Nation. He's being blackmailed and threatened that his family will suffer even more if he doesn't help the Fire Nation. So what's he supposed to do, you know? You're just trying to protect your family. And I think Sokka at some point says to Katara, when he finds out our dad would have never done that.
Right.
But then you wonder, really? I don't know. To directly protect you and Katara? I think he might have. If they directly blackmailed him... We're going to destroy your family if you don't comply with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So very dark, the dark sides of war and what it does.
Yeah.
It's, I think Uncle Iroh says it a lot to Aang. And I love this in the next episode, their conversation they have when they both are imprisoned by the,
oh my gosh,
by King Bumi.
Yeah.
He says it isn't that easy.
Uh-huh.
You know, things are not that easy.
Yep. Yep.
There is complicated relationships, complicated dynamics in war and what it means to people.
Yeah.
And that's what this episode really well shows us.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, really, and so, I think we've kind of covered the major points there. It's just a lot of learning, a lot of growing. We're in a new town. We're learning about some of these. I mean, really even get some history between the Fire Nation and the Earth Kingdom, right? And just sort of the war that's been going on. We'll get definitely a lot more of that with Bumi in the next episode. But, it was just a all-around good episode. It didn't have, for me, the peaks that episode 2 had, but still, it was definitely moved us along.
I think it was fantastic, the fight between Zuko and Aang. on the market and how they used the little things and goods on the market to fight.
Right, when they're in with the cloth or whatever and they're fighting between the cloth and they're using it to wrap each other's arms up and things. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Well done. Well, the choreography was good.
Right, so. And then another Iroh moment when Zuko reveals all of them. He firebends and everyone knows they're the Fire Nation. Now they're looking for firebenders. Yeah. And Iroh just pushes him aside and says, save yourself. And he's like, firebending. And everyone goes, okay, here's the firebender.
But
and
that was also an epic moment. The music comes in when he does it.
It's a
chills moment. That is what the master does. The master will save the apprentice and say, go, let me handle
this.
And you're like, okay. And he knows that there's no escape.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a sacrifice in a sense. And he'll be imprisoned. So
yeah, and this whole thing ends with both Iroh and Aang being imprisoned.
Right. Yep. So great episode. I did enjoy it. Again, it's one of those. It's building towards an epic episode 4, which we will get to in our next episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, loving it, and we hope you guys are enjoying it as well too. Hopefully you're binging it this weekend or in the future whenever, and you just want to hear some folks geek out over it. Lottie has been super excited. We went nuts last night listening to it and watching it. And I just think that you have so many different thoughts. I mean, we even have some theory videos that we want to pencil down and get into later. Yes. So, but anything else though?
No, just really happy so far with it and can't wait to talk about the next episodes.
Yeah, same. All right, friends. Well, hey, thanks for extending your Avatar experience with us. We're going to jump off here and we'll be back with episode 4, Into the Dark, and episode 5, Spirited Away. So if you have thoughts you'd like to share with us, then send us a message to theflannelwizard@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the Extended Edition. And remember, yip.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.